Perfect. Now I have your number. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We have a very cool episode today about penis enlargements. Who wants to talk about big dicks? And we have a special guest, Paul Hackett, who has been generous enough to come on and share his story about his recent penis enlargement. And when he told me the story and showed me the photos, it was totally not what I expected at all. I kind of had a ton of misconceptions around what this was and what the procedure was like. And Paul's going to fill us in on everything you need to know if you've ever been curious about enlarging your wang. So welcome to the show, Paul.
Thanks, man. I'm going to fill you in on being filled in.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of interesting puns on this episode, right?
I would imagine so.
So tell us, like, how big were you before? What made you want to do it? What were some of your preconceptions about it?
You know, I was well within the average size range, right? And that average size range over the years has gone down and down and down as problems with studies have been corrected, right? So back in the day, they would just say to people, hey, measure your dick, tell us how big it is. And then that's how they would come out with an average, which right. is flawed to say.
And it's like, where do you measure from? How hard is it when you measure?
Exactly.
There's all those exactly. questions that I would have.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, and you know, as these more sophisticated studies have been coming out that have involved actual urologists measuring people in a standardized way, that average has actually gone down. And now that average erect penis size, according to the most extensive study in the subject, which was performed by Dr. David Veal in a study that was published, I believe, in 2015, is 5.18 inches when erect, with a circumference of about 4.59 inches. It's good news to a lot of people who might think that they are smaller than average based on what they see in porn and based on what they've read in some of these earlier studies that were flawed. So I actually was about average girth. I was 4.5 inches around, but I was actually longer by almost an inch. So my penis was like 6.25 inches long, right? So longer than average, but slightly less girthy than average. So I was very much like in the... Like 95% of people, I was in that kind of normal zone or normative zone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I've always...
Did you feel about it? Did you feel certain way?
You know, I mean, I love my dick very much and always have. I write about sex and sexuality for a living. I consider myself like a sexual person. I'm very interested in that. It definitely captivates me and it's something I like doing very much. And I run with a crew that like doing it very much also. Even though I always thought, wow, it would be great if this was a little bigger. I'd like, to, you know, I'm of course like a lot of men, the vast majority of the penises I've seen are in porn, right? And I know, and I hope most people know that these are statistical outliers, right? These are a self-selecting group of people who kind of like end up in the porn business because they're probably encouraged to or think they should because they've got the dimensions that they see in porn. So it becomes this, it kind of draws people into the biz.
Right.
So,
and then we think that that's normal if we're consuming porn content. You know, we watch, and I mean, what guy doesn't, right? Every guy watches a bit of porn, I think, most normal guys, and that's what you're comparing yourself to. So yeah, I totally see how that's, you know, your ideal of average, and women too, right? Women are watching it as well. So their idea of dick size is certainly unrealistic also.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that too, because more and more women are consuming porn, and these are the, they're seeing the same kind of like disconnect between, you know, the actual average and what they see in porn, right? So, you know, I'd read a lot about, you know, penis enlargement. It didn't really seem possible. It seemed very expensive. It seemed fraught with risk. It seemed like the results were really, what can I say? Unsatisfactory to a lot of people, you know?
Yeah.
The first
thing that comes to my mind would be like, what if they fuck something up? Or,
right.
You know, it's like you're dealing with the family jewels down there.
I know. And that was very much on my mind when this opportunity came along. I was, you know, why would I kind of something that's already good in the pursuit of making it better, I could ruin it. Right. That was a huge, that was a huge issue going around my mind. So that's why I was really interested when I learned about this particular procedure, because it is non-surgical and non-invasive. I can tell you about it if you'd like, if you want to know how it works.
Yeah, I want to hear all of it.
Yeah.
That was going to be my next question is, you know, what was the procedure like? Had you tried other things in the past to, you know, pumps or what, you know, what are all those sort of non-surgical ways you can go? And what was your experience with that?
Well, you know, there's a bunch of things. There's a thing called jelking, which, you know, has a lot of support on the internet, which is supposedly like a way of stretching the dick like manually, and kind of, you know, proponents say that you create these micro tears, and they're assuming that the penis grows in the same way that a muscle grows. You know, a muscle, you kind of break it down, and then it through this break and repair, it kind of gradually grows bigger,
almost penis like weightlifting.
Exactly. But, you know, they liken it like, you know, if you take a bottle, you smash it, you glue all the pieces together, and you do that enough times, it starts to get larger over time, right? And that's the sort of process behind jelking. Now, there's no medical support for this. And I actually spoke to some urologists about this while I was writing a story about it. And they're like, they each had people that had come to their office that had permanently damaged their penis doing it this way. And
yeah, that seems weird because it's not a muscle. So why would you expect it to act like one?
Exactly. Well, because they're not urologists. And I mean, and if people are really trying to do something, if they want to believe that it works, you know, they're more than willing to kind of pursue that, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was one thing. Now I did try one other thing that did work. Again, you know, I write about sex and sexuality, so a lot of people send me contraptions to try out, you know. Uh-huh. And I'd read about this penis stretcher thing, which is kind of like a little traction device. And I read a couple of Italian studies had used it. One was Italian, one was Iranian. And they used it with populations of men that had Peyronie's disease, which is a sort of curvature of the penis. They found that these guys who stretched their dicks like this for hours a day managed to regain some of the length they'd lost through this Peyronie's disease, which is basically a thickening of scar tissue that can bend the penis and cause like shortening and also painful erections, right? Mm. So So of course, people were like, well, can I use this if I don't have Peyronie's disease? You know, and and will it have the same effect? And, you know, the thinking was, well, yeah, why not? You know, it could work. But the thing is, you have to spend hours a day in one of these things, maybe 6-8 hours a day for months on end, right? So
no, it's like, I'm trying to picture it in my mind. And I think I read something you wrote about it as well, but remind me, what does this thing look like?
Well, it looks like a kind of a miniature medieval torture device, right? So there's like the rack, they would call it in the Spanish Inquisition, right? So there's something that goes around the base of the penis, then a clamp that goes on the head, and then you kind of like ratchet up how long it gets, right? So
what's the device called?
Well, there's a ton of different companies that offer this advice. They sell them on Amazon, and they sell them for as cheap as like $28 each, you know? Okay. And then you can get these deluxe packages that are supposedly, supposed to be more comfortable to wear. Because a lot of these people complained that it's like super uncomfortable, right? So then I found out about this urologist, Dr. Landon Trost, who was from the Mayo Clinic, that he was encouraged by all of these studies with these Peyronie's patients and said, you know, I think I can redesign a contraption that is doesn't take nearly as long to kind of do its thing and will be much more comfortable to wear. And because he looked at some of these devices that people were, you know, just ordering from Amazon, and he's like, these don't produce the amount of torque or torsion, I guess, needed to make these corrections. So why don't I kind of reimagine, redesign this product? So he did. And he called it the RestoreX. And I found out about it. So I gave him a call. I was like, hey, listen, man, what do you think if I, you know, I don't have Peyronie's, but if I use this, you know, could I get my penis to grow? And he's like, I don't see any medical reason why not. It's not what it's indicated for. It's not what it's supposed to do. But I don't think there'd be any harm in trying it if that's what you want to do. So I did. I got one. And over the next several weeks, I used it a half an hour in the morning, half an hour in the evening. It wasn't the most comfortable thing in the world, but it wasn't the most uncomfortable. It's certainly better than wearing it 6 or 8 hours a day, just two half an hour sessions. I did it while I was like drinking my morning coffee and watching TV, you know? Mm-hmm. And over the course of, I think it was 8 weeks, my erect length went from 6.25 inches to 6.85 inches. So more than a half inch longer, right?
Okay. So substantial, it seems.
It is substantial. And the course though was for 12 weeks, right? So I imagine if I'd have worn it for the whole 12 weeks, I could have maybe gained an inch in length based on what I did over the first 8 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. So that's pretty impressive. Apart from one thing, my girlfriend didn't like it. My girlfriend felt that it was the end of my penis was now banging into her uterus in a way that she found painful. So, so I immediately stopped. You know, and as you can imagine, like, you don't do this thing, or maybe, maybe people don't know this, but if it's like braces on your teeth, right? If you take them off, it's best to have a retainer afterwards, because eventually they're going to find their way back to where they're kind of like supposed to be, right? Totally. Yeah. So once you stop using a device like this, the results aren't permanent is what I'm trying to say. They go back to normal. So within about 4 or 6 weeks, it had gone back to the same length it always was. So those are two non-surgical things that I looked at, and everything else beyond that, there's penis pumps, but they're not. Studies have shown they don't provoke permanent gains. There are penile sleeves, which are like, you know, it's just a kind of open-ended tube that you put your dick in, and it gives you like, you know, girth and but, you know, you can't feel anything. So, you know, I mean, you know, that, I mean, I was sent one of those by a sex toy company. I tried it out and I was like, I can't feel anything. I had sex with my girlfriend. She's like, I can't really feel it. It doesn't feel right. It feels weird. It feels like, you know, So, but what it did do is it felt cool in my hand, you know, to be like, oh, this thing, I can't even wrap my fingers around it. That's dope. So it gave me the idea that maybe like extra girth would be something that would be, you know, interesting. So there was that. And then there's this type of implant called a penuma, which is a sort of, it's kind of like, imagine a tube with one, like imagine a 5-inch long tube, with a sort of slit running vertically in it. And it kind of like is inserted under the skin where the penis meets the body and is kind of slid along the length of the penis. And it completely encases the penis apart from a bit at the bottom. So the urethra, you know, where you pee and jizz from, is not obstructed, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's a thing, and that's permanent, right? And it costs like 15 grand, but... a lot of people say
that's surgical, right? It goes under the skin.
Absolutely, that's a surgical procedure. But a lot of people, what's that?
It makes me kind of squirm in my seat to hear that.
No, absolutely, and it's what, the price or the procedure or both?
Well, mostly the procedure, but then I forgot you mentioned the price, which is ridiculous. Yeah, $10K, $15K,
$15 or so. But a lot, there are a lot of reports that, you know, this thing can, it's like in the same way that you can tell fake boobs, you know, like it's very easily detectable, right? So anyone who's going to grab it is going to be like, oh, this feels like hard and not kind of natural.
What about, you know, when you don't have an erection, then what? Like, or
yeah,
like, obviously I'm sure it accounts for that, but that seems strange in my mind.
No, it's true. You sort of always look like you've got a sort of semi-erection all the time.
Gotcha.
You know, or you know, like you look like you're in a state of semi-arousal. And then, you know, but like I said, this thing does have a slit in it and a kind of a hinge. So it does grow to accommodate the engorgement. But still, but you're right. You know, it doesn't quite, it's never going to be quite like flaccid ever again, which might be awkward at a doctor's office or in a locker room or something, you know. So there's that. And then there are these other surgical procedures, usually to do with, there's one to do with lengthening where they cut the suspensory ligament, right? Which A, leaves you with a rather nasty scar on your pubic bone. And then it also means that your penis will never really point up probably in the same way that it did. It will either point out at, you know, parallel to the ground, or it will point slightly down, right?
I've heard a lot of guys in porn get that, so they can get different positions and angles.
Possibly. You get left with this deep V-shaped scar, so it's fairly easy to detect.
Oh, really?
Okay. In porn, if somebody has had it, so look out for that V-shaped scar. and then the I guess the other type of enlargement is these girth enlargements. And sometimes that's fat that's taken from elsewhere in your body, right? Sometimes they use a product called Alloderm, which is a sort of a kind of skin graft that's taken from cadavers. So you can have dead people's skin wrapped around the inside of your penis, right? Or another thing that you can do, which is probably not very advisable, is to have liquid silicone injected into the penis. And now all of those things have major downsides, right? And some are very dangerous, right? So I'm not sure if there's any cases of people dying from having silicone injected into their penis, but there are many cases of women having died after having silicone injected into their butts, right? Now obviously they're probably having it done in a sort of not really cool setting, you know, definitely not by like a MD, right? So there are a lot of these kind of back alley things that are going on, and you know, so that's a problem. So anyway, all this to say, none of these interventions seem particularly appealing or effective.
Certainly sounds like you were aware of everything out there.
Yeah, because I've written about it for years, so I know a lot about it. And you know, and in all the times that I've written about it, the two things that you say, or I end up saying, is like, you know, if you want a bigger dick, trim your pubes and lose some weight, you know?
Right.
which are just two good rules to live by generally, right?
Can't go wrong with that advice.
Yeah, yeah. So then I was writing another story about facial fillers, about guys that were having fillers put in their face, right? So I actually tried some and had my jawline kind of made more square, right? And there are a range of different filler materials. Now, these are just materials that are kind of like injected either with a syringe or with a micro cannula under the skin. And they give, they replace lost volume, because we all lose volume as we age, right? The bones in our face kind of like lose volume, lose structure. And then the skin and the flesh kind of like hang in a different way. Sorry, Robbie, I know you're a young guy. You've got all this to look forward to. But
it was... I'm feeling it. I'm 38. It's happening.
but it was really, it's amazing because, you know, you go in, this person does this, and you can see it actually happen in real time. And then the practitioner finishes, and then you've got a square jaw or a straight nose, or the lines between, you know, the corners of your nose and the corners of your mouth are less pronounced. You know, those are the labio-nasal folds. Yeah. So there's a ton of stuff that can be done, and it's very quick to do. It's not permanent. It's semi-permanent. It's like something you would always have to sort of do maintenance on, right? But of all of these products, the one that was used on me that I found the most fascinating was one called, hyaluronic acid. And it's something, it's a sugar that a body naturally produces. And the interesting thing about this particular filler is that it's reversible. There's an enzyme that can be injected that will dissolve it in, you know, 2 days, 2 to 3 days. So what's fascinating about that is, you know, should anything go wrong or you just not like it, it can be dissipated. It could be melted away, right? It's an injectable, so it's not what is regarded as surgically invasive, right? So there's the prospect of infection is lower, you know. There's right. No, so
cutting anything, you're not sewing, you're just
exactly, right. Exactly, yeah. And then so I read an article in a magazine about this guy that was injecting filler into the penis, right? He's very experienced in putting it into people's faces. This is Dr. David Schaefer. And very experienced in putting it into people's faces. And then one day a client said to him, "Hey, what would happen if you put that in my penis?" And he's like, "Well, if you're willing to be the guinea pig, we can find out," you know?
Yeah.
And they did. And he was very pleased with the results. Now, the biggest difference, I suppose, between putting it in your face and putting it in your dick is you need a lot more filler, right? To put in your penis, right? Because you're not trying to make these kind of small, subtle changes to the structure under the skin. You're actually trying to add bulk, right? So, you know.
Like you would need to put it all over the place, basically like every, you know, couple millimeters. That'd be my guess anyways.
Yeah, well, you got to make sure that it's evenly distributed along the whole length of the shaft, right? So there's a lot more that goes into it. And usually when somebody was just having, like, when I had my filler put in my face, they probably used less than one syringe. And in my first treatment with Dr. Schaefer, that he put in 10 syringes, and that was just a beginning. You know, then I came back 2 weeks later and had another 10 syringes put in, right? So
trying to picture the size of a syringe. It's like a normal needle syringe.
It's actually much smaller. It's 1 cubic centimeter, which is a fraction of a tablespoon, right? Okay. So one syringe is 1 cubic centimeter, and I think it's like 1.5 teaspoons, or something like that. It's actually a really surprisingly small amount of liquid. But what's interesting is that it kind of expands to three times its size, up to three times its size over the next 2 weeks. So even though you see an immediate change, about 2 weeks later is when you're sort of at maximum size. And from that point, it start like your body starts metabolizing it, right? So from that point on, imperceptibly, every day your dick is getting a little bit smaller, right? So this particular product, which is called Voluma XC, lasts for about 2 years. That means if you had this procedure, within 2 years it would all be gone. So what most people do is come back every year to replace what's already been metabolized and kind of like have a top up and maintain their new girth, right?
So it's and the same procedure for your face as well, right? There's no difference. You're coming back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You with these main filler, this group of fillers, you need to kind of maintain it. Right. Now he did
10, basically he did 10 syringes, right? So that's the equivalent of what, like 15 teaspoons? I'm just trying to picture how much.
I'm just going to do them like cubic centimeters. I'm going to do it as we speak. This is riveting. Centimeters in tables. But okay, so there is. Oh, okay. So 1 cubic centimeter. Oh, sorry. 14 cubic centimeters is equivalent to 1 US tablespoon, right? 14.7 cubic centimeters. So in my first session, I had around 0.75 of 1 tablespoon of filler put in, right? Okay. Which is not a lot, right? That's not very much. No. So
it expands.
And then it expands to up to three times its size. That's right. So
and then it starts, and then it slowly starts going away.
Exactly. But I came back 2 weeks later, had another 10. And then I came back a week or two after that and had another 6. Right. So for you know, this whole kind of experience was, what I talk about in my story on mybignewdick.com. That was 26 syringes or 26 cubic centimeters of product in my penis. Yeah. Now, that was enough to make my girth go from 4.5 inches around to 6 inches around. Right.
You can see all the photos on your site, right? Cause you sent me the photos. So I've seen them, but for guys watching or listening, it looks like basically like a Red Bull can, right?
Yeah, it's approaching that size. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like a Red Bull can is 6.5 centimeters and that 6.5 inches around. And that's where ultimately I want to get. So I've actually had some more since then. And now I'm more in the sort of Red Bull can area, right? So and what's interesting is there are these amazing penis size calculators online and you can kind of see what percentile you are in terms of length or girth or volume. So, being 6 inches around puts you in the 99th percentile. So that means like, in a room of 1,000 randomly selected guys, it would be statistically likely that only one or two would have a thicker dick than you. Right.
And I feel that women care more about girth than they do length. Would you agree?
I would agree. It's actually been borne out in some studies. Mm-hmm. That is true. And also anecdotally from the people that I've spoken with, that's definitely the dimension that they care about more. But what's really interesting is women's preferences for penis size. They actually prefer a slightly larger penis, both thicker and longer, but especially thicker, if it's a one-time partner. And if it's a regular partner, they prefer a slightly smaller penis in both length and girth. The people that wrote a study on that, I think it was Dr. Nicole Prowse, she kind of theorized that, you know, a one night stand, the main goal is pleasure, right? Where in a relationship, it's partnership. And if you're getting, you know, pummeled every night by a penis that's kind of quite large, you could actually cause damage to the interior structure of the vagina, right? Which people don't tend to want. So that was really interesting that women prefer a larger penis in a one-time partner versus a long-time partner.
Yeah, bad news if your girlfriend cheats on you, right? She's probably bad news. There
you go. Yeah, if she's got the intel, first of all, she knows what's up. Yeah, absolutely.
Or was it painful?
So it wasn't painful at all. So as soon as I sat down in the chair, you know, they applied, or Dr. Schaefer applied, a topical anesthetic. And then after that had been on for a couple of minutes, he injected some lidocaine. I mean, you know, is it fun? No, not necessarily. It's a needle going into the base of your penis, but it's a very small needle. And it just, you know, it's just it feels like a, you know, like a little pinch, as they say. Mm-hmm. So then he injected it 6 points around the base of the penis to mm-hmm. numb it. And then once, you know, he checked to make sure I couldn't feel anything. And then he uses something called a pilot or introducer needle. So it's just one needle that goes at the bottom. So there's only ever one kind of puncture in the penis. And then after that,
I was thinking you have to inject it like basically all the way up on all the sides and all around. So
no, I think that's how people started doing it before, but that's what's kind of unique about the way that Dr. Schaefer does it. What he calls the swag method, or the Schaefer width and girth method, is he uses a micro cannula. And I think when other people had tried putting fillers into the penis, they did use just a normal needle. And then it's hard to make sure that it doesn't kind of like bunch up, you know, because you're right. Just going in certain points and kind of like doing that. But a micro cannula is actually blunt on one end, and it has holes that run along the side of it, if you get me. It's a kind of flexible, a small, more flexible kind of tube. You know, it's about the width of kind of like a thin guitar string. And he feeds it through this pilot or introducer needle and kind of deposits the material that way. So there's less trauma because there's only one location in which the penis is punctured, and it's right at the base, right? So mm-hmm. You know, he started doing it. Actually, if you go to mybignewdick.com, you actually see pictures of the procedure while it's being done.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so my friend who was actually taking pictures of it, he was like, oh, it actually looked pretty hectic. Like he you know, there was a lot of motion, this cannula going kind of between my skin and like the innards of my penis, like the bits that kind of like fill up with blood, right? The corpus cavernosum and the corpus spongiosum. So these are the chambers that fill with blood and produce an erection, right? So he's putting the filler in between the skin and then all the sort of like, you know, the guts of it.
Gotcha.
So yeah, delightful, appetizing.
Did it make you queasy to watch, or no big
deal? I didn't watch it. I made a point of not looking down, you know. So I was just having a conversation with him about the whole time, you know, and we were just having like a nice chat, you know, and I didn't really feel any pain, but I did feel like some tugging, like some, you know, there was some, I could detect that something was going on, but right. it didn't feel like a sharp pain or anything, you know.
And then how long was the procedure?
Yeah, you know, if you take out the bit where we were just waiting for the anesthesia, the local anesthesia to work, I would say it was all done in about 8 minutes. Really fast. Like he was doing it. We were having a chat and he's like, okay, and here are the last two syringes going in. And I was like, wow, that really took no time at all. So as soon as he's done putting it in, he removes the sort of pilot or introducer needle and then kind of like just kind of like stretches it out and kind of like smooths it out to make sure that the deposited filler is kind of like evenly distributed around the shaft, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he kind of like wraps it up in kind of an ace bandage, kind of like an elasticated bandage. And he said that, you know, for the next few nights that I should sleep with it on, making sure not to tie it too tight because you don't want to restrict blood flow, obviously. But you know, it's still in this, in that early stage that the filler hasn't integrated with the tissue yet. So if you kind of like kind of slept on your dick or something or folded it up, you know, it would, it had this memory foam quality to it where it would have like an indent in it, you know? And he said like almost always people come back for two sessions he's like, it's normal for there to be some slight asymmetry after the first one. And then with a second lot, you know, he can correct that and then add more size. He says usually after people have had a little bit, they almost certainly want more because you can see what's possible. Like after the first go, you know, you're like, oh, wow, this is something else. Like, so I got home. Obviously, there's no recovery to speak of. He said, like, don't have sex for a few days. I think don't have sex for a week is what he said. But he said in terms of masturbating, he's like, well, you kind of need to kind of like continue to like kind of like milk. Yeah. Like to massage it and make sure that it's evenly distributed. Yeah. So, you know, I was happy to do that. The next day, when I took the bandage off immediately after getting home or a few hours after getting home, I was actually disappointed. I was like, oh, it didn't make as big a difference as I imagined, but it was kind of compressed in this bandage. Right. And it was also the material was kind of like expanding. So by the end of the night, or certainly the next morning when I looked at it, it was massive. And I was just like, holy shit. Like I couldn't believe how much bigger it was. There was some bruising. I did have some bruises on it. And again, there's pictures of that on mybignewdick.com. It was kind of like tender for the first, for the first week, I suppose. But when I went back a second time, the difference was, and so that I had a 10 cubic centimeters the first time, and then a further 10 the second time. The second time, it was sort of the filler made it less possible for the lidocaine to kind of like work as well. So it wasn't painful, but I felt it a little bit more, you know? Mm-hmm. But obviously it was awesome. Cause there was a slight asymmetry, probably something nobody else would notice, but I would. And he was able to correct that immediately. And the other thing he likes to split these into separate sessions is because you don't want too much too soon, right? Like the skin has to sort of stretch to accommodate the extra volume. So, he's like, we should do it like 10 cc's at a time and then, you know, give the time to recover for any bruising or swelling to go away. And then we can do some more and we can assess from there, you know? So, there was no downtime. Like after one of my sessions, I went straight to the gym. I went from the place to the gym. That was pretty much it.
So what if someone is more of a grower than a shower?
Right.
Right. Cause that's what I'm thinking. When I'm small, it's really small. Like I'm a big time grower, I think more than most people from what I've gathered. Yeah, so I'm trying to picture how this would be if, you know, if when it's limp, there's like not a lot there at all.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a big difference when your penis is flaccid because, that extra material doesn't contract in the same way that your dick does, you know, like, you know, if you took a dip in the ocean, right. Somewhere cold, your dick will still shrink, but the filler won't to the same degree, you know? So you'll always have a kind of a shower, certainly compared to how it was before. Right.
Right. So you have that bulge effect, which I'm sure some people.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You will have that bulge effect, which people tend to like. In fact, there was an interesting survey that was done about how women prefer a bulge pic to a dick pic, because it leaves a little something to the imagination, and then they can project.
That's so graphic.
Yeah, and they can project their own thoughts on what's going on, as opposed to be like, "Here's my dick," blah, you know. So that's interesting. But of course, you know, you could get that effect just by sticking a sock in your underwear, but you actually want to make good on the promise of it, right?
So, for sure. Stuff in the bra, stuff in the
yeah, yeah. So it certainly it makes a big difference. I think that's the first picture on my website, on the article on mybignewdick.com. It's you see it flaccid at, you know, a baseline after 10 cc's, then after a total of 26 cc's, and it's really night and day. Like by the time you got 26 cc's in me, my flaccid girth was 5 3/4 inches around, right?
Wow. Okay.
So my dick
sock, huge, yeah,
was a lot thicker than an average erect penis. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's
totally,
yeah. So that was pretty cool. And then obviously the next thing was trying it out, you know, with a real live person. And what was really interesting is that I was seeing, I have like various, I have some like partners that I own that live elsewhere and I only see a few times a year. And I kind of told them about it. They also happened to be size queens. So it was, they were very excited about it for me and excited to try it out. But at the time, I was dating a woman. I did not tell her that I was having the procedure done. Mm-hmm. And because I wanted to get her reaction for the first time when I was.
That must have been a fun experience to see her jaw drop.
Really interesting. It was really interesting. So, you know, what I wanted to do was to kind of like have her experience intercourse, first of all, without seeing it or handling it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny, I kind of put it in her and she was kind of like, looked at me funny, like there was something, she could tell something was different, you know, but it wasn't till she actually held it in her hand and came face to face. And I'll never forget it. She was just like, she looked really kind of puzzled for a minute. And she was just like holding it, not looking at me, just looking at it. And she just looked up at me and she's like, "You've got a different dick now." She's like, "What's going on? Your dick's different." And I was like, I don't know what you, I played dumb for like 10 seconds. That was as much as I could do. And then so we stopped and I kind of like told her the whole story behind it, kind of as I'm telling you now. And then, you know, and she got into it, but she wasn't the sort of, she kind of said, "I kind of liked how it was before." She's like, I think it's great now, but I liked it how it was before, which is a very nice diplomatic thing. But what I really wanted to hear was, "Oh, you've got a giant dick now and I love it," right? And that was more the reaction I got.
Right.
Yeah. And that was more the reaction I got from some of these other partners who had always said that they liked larger, especially thicker penises, right? So it was really fun to share it with this one particular partner who, that's her preference, right? So that was great.
So a few you told and the one you surprised.
Exactly. A few I told and then the one I surprised. Yeah, exactly. And then I'd had new partners that just didn't know me from before, right?
Right.
So that was interesting because they didn't know the difference, right? They were just like, "Oh, you got a thick old dick." And I was just like, "Yeah." And
So did you see a difference between, you know, how a girl would kind of look at you in the past versus now after seeing it?
To be honest, I'd only been with a few kind of like first time partners, but it wasn't more how they felt about it. It was more how I felt about it. Like, I loved seeing how much bigger it looked in their hand and in their mouth and in their vagina, right? Mm-hmm. Than it kind of gave me confidence in a way, like, you know, because seeing they couldn't touch their fingers around it, like that's a new experience for me, right? So you know, it was like a can of Red Bull, right? So like,
yeah, that's like you think about that, you know, that there's like the jokes about that dick is like a Coke can, right?
Right.
Right.
So it was, you know, it was interesting. It kind of, it's a weird confidence thing, but I was like, oh, like I statistically know that this is one of the larger penises this person has ever encountered. Right. Mm-hmm. Why should that matter? It absolutely shouldn't. And like how good you are at sex shouldn't really have anything to do with how big your dick is or any of that stuff. However, having said all that, I certainly liked it. I liked the way that sex looked, like visually, like I just said, but I also liked how it felt, right?
Hmm. So like, you didn't lose any sensation.
No, it's more.
Really?
More, huh. Yeah, because like, I feel like now every part of me is touching every part of her, mm-hmm. right? Like when we're having intercourse, for example, like it feels super tight all the time, right? It's like, you know, one of my girlfriends, like, oh, this kind of means we can't do anal anymore because it's kind of too big for that now. And I was like, oh yeah, but I used to love it, right? But I don't care anymore because that tightness is evident when you have vaginal sex now, mm-hmm. right? It's kind of a lot like, you know, that you lube is definitely a bigger part of my life than it was before, you know?
right.
And like the prospect of like being chafed if you have like a marathon session that goes on for a while, you know, mm-hmm. that's more likely. But also, in the article, one of my partners, actually, we talk about how it's changed the way I behave in bed sexually, where she's like, oh, before you used to like change positions a lot. Like you'd be doing like hard stuff and then soft stuff. And then, you know, you'd be like, it was almost like you needed to kind of keep yourself occupied to keep all these different stimuli happening. But she's mm-hmm. like, now you're much more present and you're much more kind of like enjoying the sensation of mm. just normal sex. Right.
That's great to hear.
Yeah. Good. She observed and I absolutely, agreed with. Yeah. That's how it felt for me too.
Hmm. Okay. So yeah. You felt, obviously you said there was more confidence.
Yeah.
Just visually feeling, it sounds like overall, you know, totally for the better, like in all categories, it seems like.
Well, not all. I will say one thing. Like, this is cool because I figured this out now, but like getting condoms to fit was like a nightmare, right? And so I spoke to Dr. Schaefer about it and he was like, well, you really want to watch how much you put in because you're going to be too big for standard condoms after a certain point, you know? And I even tried with like the Magnums and the XL versions, like Durex XL and stuff, the stuff that you can get at the store. And mm-hmm. then it was still way too tight. And then I talk about this in the piece and there's pictures of me like stuffed into these things. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I had sex with several people with these supposedly large condoms, but they weren't quite big enough and they felt way too tight and it made sex feel like not fun. So Dr. Schaefer actually recommended this one company called myone.com. And they have like, I think 90 different sizes and you kind of like do some, there's a calculator on their website. You put your dimensions in, and then it spits out a particular type of condom that's going to be best for your size. And I've tried them now and it's like night and day. They're actually fun to use. So so that's really good. So I'm very happy about that. But for the first couple months, I was just like, oh, sex in regular condoms just doesn't feel very good anymore. We found
that
a solution.
Would be a problem if
So there's that, and also, like, I'm not gonna lie to you, like, I kind of usually wear tight pants and jeans, like, it's way more, it's just like a bit more obvious, you know.
Okay.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, because, more looks, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, and it's no longer kind of false advertising. It's not like a sock in your pants would be false advertising, right? But it's the real deal. It's so that's kind of cool, but, like, you know, sometimes you just like, oh, I hope it's not too porno. When you're doing something that is definitely not porno related, like, you know, it's standing in line at the post office or something, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you a bit about the reason why, from the first place. Like, I think, how much do you consider that the reason why you wanted to do it was because you had kind of tried other things in the past, and this is like an exploration sort of thing for you? Or, you know, was it really more about the confidence?
I was uniquely placed in a way because I had done my homework. I did know about all these other methods out there. You know, I'd had a range of professional experiences that led me to this. And mm-hmm. I kind of had done my homework, really. And then I was also very lucky to get in touch with Dr. Schaefer, who was open to the idea of giving me this treatment in exchange for coverage, right?
Gotcha.
So I was going to write about it, and I have. It's interesting, you know, like when you're a journalist, you can get a lot of free stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Because people want to, in fact, it's a lot of people's jobs to give journalists three or influencers right now. You get given things and then you write about them and then hopefully they see an uptick in business, right? So that was the kind of arrangement that we went into. Because if we hadn't, I couldn't have afforded what this would have cost me.
Yeah, right? I was going to ask you, what would it run?
Well, it's different for everyone.
It depends on, of course, it depends on how much material, right?
Yeah. So, and that's governed by how much bigger you want to get, how much thicker you want to get, and then how long your penis is in the first place, right? If you've got a skinny 10-inch dick, right?
Right.
You've got to use a lot of filler, right? Right. So if you're short, then it's not gonna be quite so expensive, and also, the degree to which it expands is individual as well. I'm just saying all this first, right? So then I'll tell you that what it would have cost if I was just paying like a normal person was like $22,000 or thereabounds. So 20 grand, because each of the syringes is valued, it costs about $1,000, and they get slightly cheaper as you get more of them. But I did the calculations and figured out that what it would have cost me was 22.5 grand. Yeah. So, that's a lot. Meaning, you know, it's not for everyone. However,
cheaper than a sports car, which I'm sure some guys might use.
It's cheaper. Yeah. It's about the same price as a monthly payment on a regular car, you know, the average car repayment is like $500 a month or something like that, right? Well, if you spread the cost of this over 2 years, which you can with like Care Credit, for example, which is like a credit card company that kind of helps you kind of like spread cosmetic procedures like over time.
Right.
So that's how I was thinking about it. I was just like, well, so what I'm trying to say to you, Robbie, is like, I did my homework and this was offered to me in exchange for my writing, right? So it was made very easy for me. Like the obstacles were taken away. But then of course, now that I've had it, that means I have to have it always. Otherwise my dick will go back to how it was before, right? So
already, and I'm guessing that's not an option.
It's not an option. No, once you go big, you can never go back. You could, I suppose, if you preferred it, but I don't want to, you know. So what that means is that I have to get a top up, like maybe every year, right? So that means like, quite a bit of expense to me every year, but you can kind of spread that cost, over the course of it would be like several hundred dollars a month. For me, I mean, other people spend money on stuff, right? I don't have a car because I live in a city, or I'm a kind of a digital nomad too. So I kind of, I don't own a home. I rent. I mostly live in Airbnbs. Even though it seems like a big expenditure, it's not. I save money in so many other ways that I'm still way ahead of the game, even if I'm like, paying to have a big dick every year, So
yeah, you're using it, so why not? Getting the money's worth.
Yeah, and some people have like expensive hobbies, whether you play, if you play golf and you like to play really nice courses and you like to have nice clubs, or
Oh, yeah, that's way more expensive.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff adds up, and I'd just rather have a big dick and not play golf, and not have a sports car, and not have a home in the suburbs. It kind of fits with my lifestyle more.
I bet if you asked a lot of women, they would probably agree as well. Would you rather have a big dick or country club membership? I think a lot would take the bigger dick.
That would be a very interesting study, or at least a survey.
Right.
So I don't know. But it's definitely been life changing. I really like every time I look down, I'm like, wow, look at that thing,
You still get the surprise factor. How long has it been now?
So the first set of things I had in like between mid August and mid September, those first three sessions. Mm-hmm. And then I went back about 2 weeks ago, not because it had kind of like gone away, just because I wanted a little more, I think there's probably a bit of a danger in that and Dr. Schaefer told me about that. He's like, people get this and then they forget what they were like before. And then they just want one more, So he's like, it's good to keep measurement. So because the mind plays tricks and you just think it's kind of like shrinking.
You forget what normal was, or you forget your expectations change, I guess.
Exactly.
Is there a point where you have to stop, or can you just keep getting bigger and bigger?
I think there is a point where you have to stop, because it would become functionally useless. I mean, you couldn't fit it in.
Right.
But maybe people, there is going to be some guys that don't care. Like they're like, oh, I have a giant dick that can not be accommodated by anyone who is a human being,
It's like that meme of, you've seen that meme, the black guy who's got the dick that's like down to his knee.
No.
No, you haven't seen that guy? just Google like a big black guy with huge dick, or black guy with massive dick. It's like he's got like a hat. It's a pretty common meme.
Okay.
But that thing looks completely unusable. Like I don't know.
Right.
Like, I mean, wrap it around his lip.
So you wouldn't want to be, I'm in like close consultation with a couple of partners that I do regularly see, So my one friend was just like, I could probably handle like a tiny bit bigger than you've made it, but not too much, I think we said Red Bull can was the cutoff. So, and that's for her, but again, I'm not doing it really for anybody else, not one particular person. I'm doing it for me in the same way that, that anybody has any kind of cosmetic procedure done. Is it, you do it for how you want to, you know?
Yeah, your own confidence and your own.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. the girl that I was dating over the summer, she was like, "I loved your dick. I can't believe you did this. This is crazy." Like, you know, mm-hmm. And then she's like, "Well, what would you do if, like, I said I hated it?" And I was like, "Well, you know, it's really not about you, I have to say, you know." And So maybe it would be if I was in a monogamous relationship with one person. I'd certainly have to weigh what they want into account, but I'm not, right? So it's not. Right. A kind of a thing for me, but you know, as I told you before, this stuff can actually be melted away. So if you
can always go back,
or you can always go bigger, right? You know?
You're the first person to do this procedure, right?
The first person ever, no.
Okay, but the. Terms of using this balloon? No, okay, no. So he had done it on other people?
Oh, yeah, no. I think he's done it around. Over 500 times he's done the procedure.
Okay, got it. Mm-hmm.
He started doing it, I think, in 2017. Mm-hmm. And his particular way of doing it is, it bears his name. It's the Schaefer width and girth, or SWAG, procedure.
Mm-hmm. I like that. The
SWAG. Yeah, it's pretty good. So he's probably, if not the most, then among the most experienced in this particular in kind of like injecting dermal fillers into penises, right? And beyond that, he's also very experienced in fillers and in all other kinds of injectables, just generally, you know. The dick stuff for him is a new thing. Usually he does breast augmentation, he does liposuction, so he's a double board certified plastic surgeon. But you're right in that the procedure is relatively new. And, I just also want to point out, like, as I've told you before, I've done my homework. Like, I know about all these different procedures. But this was new to me. And I was shocked that I hadn't really heard about it or realized how effective it was, right? Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like this is where, like, you know, the degree of public awareness is like similar to what the degree of public awareness about breast augmentation was in like the 1950s. You know, like I feel like a lot of people just don't know that this is an option, right?
Yeah, I had no idea until I talked to you about it.
So so that's really the main thrust of my article.
Go ahead. I was going to ask you after who you would recommend it for.
Well, you know, I would start by saying there are a few people that it's actually that probably wouldn't be very good candidates for it. I think Dr. Schaefer, these are all outlined in the piece at mybignewdick.com. But mm-hmm. These include people with micro penises, right? So those are penises that are kind of only like, I think it's 2.5 standard deviations below the mean, which equates to about, you know, like just a couple of inches when erect, you know, so adding girth to a penis that's short like that probably isn't going to create the desired effect, you know?
Right.
Also, you know, he discourages people that can't really afford it, of course, to not do it. I think heavy smokers are people that tend to have higher complications just because smoking does all kinds of things to blood flow throughout the body, and that is not something that you want to be doing. And then I think people, he also said, people that have kind of like a small head of their penis or glands in relation to the rest of their penis would probably not have like the ideal results too, because
too pointy, I'm guessing, right?
Well, it's more like that the skin, the thicker skin of the shaft of the penis will almost kind of like cover the head, mm-hmm. like when you're right. using, you know what I'm saying? Like it's
right.
It's so who would I recommend it to is, you know, well, you know, some studies suggest that as many as 55% of men wish they had a bigger penis, right? That's not to say they hate their penis or they you know, kind of kept up at night thinking, oh, my fucking dick's too small. It's like, hey, oh yeah, if I could be a little bit bigger, yeah, I absolutely would, you know, which is a different thing. You know, it's not, so, you know, like I say in my piece, like, you don't have to be, you don't have to be a short woman to enjoy wearing high heels, right? It's just like a little extra, like it's like an enhancement, it's a boost.
Well, it sounds like it's even a lot extra. I mean, from the way you described it, you know, it's obviously really material. Like I've never tried a penis pump before, but what, you know, it's what's the difference between if or something that's non-surgical, non-invasive, non-injecting, you know, what's the percentage difference? Like what's, you know, I think you kind of, I'm not asking it the right way, but you know what I mean? Like how big can you get versus how big did you get from the, and you said you lost the sensation anyway, so maybe it's a useless question to answer, but it seems like it's.
Well, those two things, so the penis sleeve is just, it's almost like a novelty, I suppose. Maybe some people enjoy them, couples enjoy them, but I just couldn't feel anything and nor could she, right? And with penis pumps, you can kind of have maximum engorgement, which will make your dick as big as it ever can naturally be, right? But then you would have to use a cock ring to sort of keep it that way, to keep the blood in it, right? Mm-hmm. But also with a penis pump, you do run the risk, you know, a lot of people damage themselves.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, you can over pump, right? And then there's a lot of anecdotal evidence about that people are using it, then one of their balls gets sucked into the tube, which is incredibly painful. I don't think I've got the talking of balls. I don't think I have the cojones to sort of be like, hey, babe, let me just pump up my dick and then use a ring. But, you know, like, I think that's fine.
Right.
If you're part of a couple and you're older, but it's certainly, that's not like a, that's not a sort of first night sleeping together thing that you want to pull out, you know?
Definitely not. Very good point. Because, if you do it with your girlfriend, fine, but obviously not with a new partner.
Yeah. So there's that. Does that answer your question?
So it sounds like someone who, you know, someone who's obviously, you know, they'd like to see some growth in that area.
Yeah.
It sounds like you can get a significant change. See, like breast augmentation, you know? It sounds pretty similar. Like you can get significantly bigger if you want it to be.
Yeah. So from 4.5 inches to 6 inches around, that's an increase, a girth increase of 33%. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the difference between a 6 foot man and a 9 foot man. Like if you think that way, like,
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I'm a kind of a single dude who's kind of usually non-monogamous, right? So I think you would definitely, if you had a long-term partner, you would definitely want to get his or her buy-in about it, you know?
Right.
And have that be a factor in your decision making. So I mean, that's who I would recommend it to. Anybody who could kind of like think, oh yeah, I'd that would be fun. But of course, you kind of have to have the means to do it. Like I said before, this is not something that, I mean, now that I've experienced it, I would definitely invest in it and have this be part of my life. But having not experienced it firsthand, I probably wouldn't have. But there was no. Until I wrote my article, my bignewdick.com, I didn't have anyone to talk to about this, right? I didn't have any. Dr. Schaefer doesn't have a lot of dick pictures on his thing. He's got a couple, but they're not erect. Like there's erect pictures all over my story online, because if I'd have had that information, and it's a 21,000 word long article, which is really, really long, right? So it's about the third the length of like a paperback book, right? It's very long, it's very detailed, and I try and talk about everything that I can think of related to this topic, right? So, so what I'm hoping is that people that are thinking about it can read this and kind of like, you know, come to a conclusion on whether this is something they would want to try. And full disclosure, like, you know, the way that if people click through our website to Dr. Schaefer's consultation page and they end up having the procedure, then there's a financial transaction that happens between myself and Dr. Schaefer, you know? Mm-hmm. So we're getting paid per new patients that kind of like, you know, find him through us, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for disclosing that.
Yeah.
So, and he's in New York, correct?
That's right. He's in Manhattan, but, you know, up until COVID, people would fly in from all over the world, to see him. And, mm-hmm. And still now people from neighboring states are coming to see, you know, people come from like Massachusetts and Connecticut, New Jersey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, this seems like a really good option. I guess the only, I think a lot of people would probably do it. But obviously the cost, it's not the cheapest thing ever. I think if it was significantly cheaper, I could imagine a huge percentage of people doing this, kind of like as many women that do, you know, boob jobs, guys would consider this, I would guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, no, you're absolutely right. It's incredibly, you know, it's pricey. It's pricey. And it's also not permanent. So it's a kind of like a commitment until you don't care about having a much thicker dick anymore, you know? So yeah, it's something that needs to be constantly maintained, although it does get cheaper, I suppose, to maintain the same size, because you're just basically topping up at a certain point, you know? But, you know, like I said before, it's not too different from what most people pay per month, you know, for a car payment, you know, or something like that. It just depends on what you find important and what is important for your life, you know. But having said all that, Dr. Schaefer is currently he's doing a study with the makers of the filler that he uses, and you know, this study is supposed to look at like the effectiveness of dermal fillers in increasing penile girth, because there hasn't been a lot of studies on it. So he's actually looking for volunteers to participate in this study, and you'd get this for free if you were eligible for the study.
Wow. How many people is he looking for?
I think he's looking for 20 initially. So it's like, yeah, so 20 people. And I think the idea that the study is going to be like, I think they get 10 syringes and then wait a few weeks and then get a second set of 10 syringes. So it would be a total of 20 cubic centimeters of filler, you know, which is can make a, like a really significant difference.
And then the maintenance, you know, a year or two down the road, that would be...
Yeah, but, exactly. I think okay. At that point, you know, yeah, exactly. So they'd have like plenty of time to kind of figure out whether it's worth it to continue on, and or not. You know, some people might be like, oh, you know, it was fun, but I couldn't justify the price. Or some people would be like, I love it. I can't imagine going back. You know, so right. But yeah, I think after that initial treatment, their participation in the study. They would be responsible for every top up from that point on. But
and what how do people apply for this if they're interested?
There's actually the study coordinator. Maybe I could we could put his email in the description if that's okay.
Sure.
And then
it'll be right there in the show notes.
So okay.
You can email him.
Yeah. And he will. You know, I think. He'll get in touch with you and then you'll have like an intake conversation and he'll determine whether you're eligible for the study, you know, based on a few questions, I suppose.
Perfect.
So that's all there is to it, you know. So it's pretty good. It's a pretty good deal. and you may get to have the the penis of your dreams for free, at least for a year or so.
The penis of your dreams for a year. And yeah. Maybe longer if you want to pay.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that this has been incredibly educational. And I'm sure for guys out there who have ever had questions around it, you know, your article is going to be the best source they could possibly find. So yeah, anyone listening, go check out my big new dick.com, right?
That's right.
The link will be right below. People can click there.
Yeah. And warning, there were some explicit images, but so use caution.
Not safe for work.
Right? Exactly. Well, it depends where you work, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Remote workers, no big deal. Work from home. So, Paul, thanks so much for coming on and being so open and authentic about your story. I think it'll be, like I said, really valuable for those people who are interested.
Absolutely, Robbie. I mean, the article, the whole reason it exists really is to let people know that this is an option if they think it's appropriate for them. So this is great that I get to talk about it with you.
Perfect. All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Cheers.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.